everyone. My name is Phil C. This is Corner Country, brought to you by allaussieradio.com.au and now syndicated to 87.6 Backwater Country in Harrington and 97.7 Tasman FM. A big shout out to all the Tasmanians now taking on Corner Country. Thank you so much for supporting Australian country music. Now, have I got a fabulous program planned for you this afternoon, guys? I have got the sensational Dean Perrott, Australian bush balladeer, and he's going to be chatting with us on the program a little bit later on and telling us about some of his accolades, some of his experiences, giving us the backstories to some of his songs. Fabulous program, guaranteed for anybody who's interested in Australian country music. I'm going to kick the show off with a guy named Jeff Brown. Now, I had the pleasure of meeting Jeff at Music in the Mulga on the Wandilla Station on the other side of Cunnamulla. There's a little town called Yulo. And as I said, the station is called Wandilla. And the music festival, Music in the Mulga, is where I met this chap, okay? He's an Australian bush balladeer himself. He's got a fabulous selection of albums to his credit and great songs. Why not check him out on Spotify, okay? I'm going to play you a song by him, Jeff Brown, from his More Times Than I Remember album. And the song is called Back to the Barcoo. Jeff Brown, folks.
I left the bush for the city, my family for a guitar and a song. Singing country music, a dream that I've had now for so long. Playing all the rodeos, festivals and all those one-night shows. Singing with a country band, motel rooms and one-night stands. Just one dream left to go. I'm going back to the Barcoo, back to my home at Riverview. Back to the Barcoo, now I'm coming home to you. I'm going back to the black soil, where the border ain't wind their way. To the beauty of the Barcoo, I'm leaving the city here today. I hear an echo in my mind, the sound of the bushland calling me. Calling me back home to that old Gidgee tree. To the horses that I used to ride, galloping with nostrils flaring wide. Well, I'll leave behind those bright lights, city bars and late nights, to be by that old Barcoo side. I'm going back to the Barcoo, back to my home at Riverview. Back to the Barcoo, now I'm coming home to you. I'm going back to the black soil, where the border rains wind their way. To the beauty of the Barcoo, I'm leaving the city here today. Back to the Barcoo, back to my home at Riverview. Back to the Barcoo, now I'm coming home to you. I'm going back to the black soil, where the border ain't wind their way. To the beauty of the Barcoo, I'm leaving the city here today. Back to the Barcoo, I'm leaving the city here today.
Oh, There we go, folks. That is Jeff Brown back to the Baku from his More Than I Remember album. I'm going to play you one song, folks, just one more song, and then we're going to have Dean Perrett on the program with us. Fabulous discussion with Dean and also some of his great music throughout the course of that, okay? The song I'm going to play for you is by a man named Kerry Kennedy. Now, he's got an album called Going Home, and the track we've selected from that this afternoon, listeners, is a number called Listen to Me, Kerry Kennedy.
Here go. Every time you leave, you take a little piece of me. Sick and tired of sleepless nights, for God's sake, set me free. Take away this spell you've got me under. Life without you, oh yes, I've wondered. I know there's someone out there for me. Tried erasing all the pain that you've given me. For a while it works, but there's so much history. Thought that you were my one and only, but we're together I still feel lonely. I know there's someone out there for me. Without you, oh yes, I've wondered. I know there's someone out there for me. Every time you leave, you take a little piece of me. Sick and tired of all the pain that you've given me. Take away the spell you've got me under. Life without you, oh yes, I've wondered. I know there's someone out there for me. Out there for me. Out there for me. Out there for me.
Oh, g'day, listeners. As promised from last week's program, this is Corner Country. My name is Phil C, and I've got on the phones with us this afternoon special guest Mr. Dean Perrett from Kingaroy, country music singer, Australian balladeer, songwriter, and a fabulous all-round bloke. How are you going today, Dean? Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Phil. It's great to be speaking with you.
Mate, it's a pleasure for me to have you on the program. I just want to let all my listeners know. I let them know last week when I had Rob Breeze on the show. I had the pleasure of meeting you at the Nanango Country Music Muster. First time I'd met you, first time I've heard you perform, and really, really impressed with a lot of your music. I'm not sure about my listeners, if they know a great deal about you, but I definitely want to make my listeners aware of you and your singing and songwriting abilities.
Yeah, thank you, certainly. You know, it's I think it's one of those things, you know, I've been around for a lot of years, but, you know, it's just to catch people's ear in the right way. That's what the songwriting and performing involves. So so hopefully a few more people will get to know what I do. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, you've been around for a little while. At what age did you start playing guitar?
Well, I started playing my mother's hairbrush at, about 2 years old. And after a while, my parents sort of thought they should get me a guitar. But I seriously sort of started learning guitar probably about when I was 8. And then after a while, because my younger sister and my only sister,
yes,
my only sibling, Carrie,
yes,
she sort of loved her music too. So our parents sort of encouraged us, and we went off and went along to a lot of the country music talent quests that used to be all the rage in the day. They'd have these big weekend festivals. That was you'd have plenty of guest artists, like a professional artist who'd come along, perform during the night, and a lot of those people would also judge the talent quests. And so it was a really great learning ground for learning stagecraft and your performance. And, it was such a special era because, I know, I got to spend a lot of time with young Keith Urban and Angie Marquis and a lot of those people because that's where they honed their skills as well.
Mm-hmm.
They were sort of the big learning years for us to try to hone a craft. I mean, that was our skill. We didn't sit in front of an Xbox or anything.
No, thank heavens.
It was strum the guitar and really enjoy the music. And so that's performing at those festivals sort of encouraged us on to want to go on to a more sort of a professional stage and also recording, Yeah.
So there was no music in your family? Your mum or your dad didn't play a guitar or a piano or something like that? You just one day picked up the hairbrush and they thought, geez, we better get this boy a guitar. Is that virtually how it worked out for you?
Well, pretty much. I think my father, he writes a fairly good bush poem. He's not a singer, but he's fairly good at writing bush verse.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that side of the writing side of it probably came from him. My grandfather had a very rich baritone voice when he was a young man, and of course, he lived and worked in the bush all his life, so that was his occupation. So he never took it any further than when he was a young man, maybe singing in one or two of Stedfords, and then the rest of it was just singing in the saddle then.
So you mentioned his saddle. I mean, interestingly enough, like you're raised on a cattle farm, a cattle property actually.
Mm.
So when you decided to take up the guitar and do what you do, did Dad think, oh, wow, hang on, I was hoping this boy would take over the farm and the cattle property and he was just going to be a bushy, or was he really behind you and wanting to, to encourage you to do what it is you're doing now?
Well, I was able to have my cake and eat it too, in the fact that I was always pretty much full time on the property, and it was my music that was sort of more we'll say it was more than a hobby. It really did well for me, but I still spent a lot of time on the property, and I would get away on weekends or long weekends and fly to festivals on weekends and that sort of thing. So I was at home a lot of the time, and the times I was away, my father and I were great mates and we worked in well together, and, we'd get everything done that we had to get cleaned up before I could go away to do some singing and that sort of thing. So I was very, very blessed that it worked in for me that way.
Okay.
And that I've been able to do it all along because, that life in the bush and around the cattle industry all my life had, it gave me the insight for writing bush ballad stories and things like that, because, it was life I was living and experiencing, and so that was such a, they just worked hand in hand, like a hand in glove, really.
Right.
And, yeah.
Now, you mentioned your sister earlier, Kerry. Mm. You recorded your first album with Kerry back in 1989, Australia, She's Mine. Was that when you sort of decided, well, this is my first album, this is really what I'd like to do, just write and sing and perform?
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually a writer then, but, we love performing, love singing, and you know, I think Dad, he was sort of always had that interest in encouraging us and seeing where the music could take us or that sort of thing. And I know that actually Eric Watson, who was started and had what they called Selection Records, which, you know, had contracted people like Reg Poole and Barry Thornton and a lot of those great old traditional country artists.
Yes.
It was actually Eric that really encouraged us and said to Dad, you know, these kids are well worth trying. They give them a chance to record something. And so I have Eric to thank a lot in that regard. And also, and, you know, it, so, yeah, so Dad said, let's get in touch with Lindsay Butler and we'll get an album recorded. And so that was great, you know, and just that, you know, just as two really raw kids going in and to a studio and, you know, your eyes were open. it was just a great thing. And I think I sort of really took to it because I really love a recording process whenever I record.
Okay.
Not so much the songwriting, but creating in the studio.
Right.
And, I mean, I love writing songs, but for me, it's the songwriting part of it's the boring part. But I love creating in a studio with those songs and just seeing how everything comes together as you start to produce, you know. So yeah, that Australia She's Mine record was our very first taste of it and really did set the bug for me, you know, in motion, I think.
Absolutely. Now, how many albums have you done? Because you've got your latest album, which came out just last year, which is The Sweetest Verse. So from then, 1989 to 2023, which is your latest album, how many albums have you done?
So, yeah, The Sweetest Verse is the 18th album.
Wow.
And there's been a few other singles and that sort of thing along the way. But, yeah, 18 albums and it's hard to believe.
That's a lot of albums. That is an awful lot of albums. Some people don't do that in twice your lifetime.
Well, you know, I'm just very fortunate that people that that really love my music and the Bush Ballad stories and the stories in my songs have always really been great supporters. And when we have brought out an album, you know, they've really treated me well in purchasing those recordings and, you know, supporting me at gigs and shows and things. And so it's always been, I've always got to a point where, you know, you'll think, oh, gee, it's time for another album. This is going well, but I'm getting the bug again, you know.
Yes.
And next thing I find myself in the writing mode and song gathering mode and, then I'm back in the studio again, so.
So what inspires you to write? Like, how do you – I asked Rob Breeze last week, what's the writing process? Do you sort of sit down and pick up the guitar and strum a few chords and think, that sounds pretty good, I'll put some words to that? Or do you write down words like your dad with a bush poetry and you being a bush balladeer singer and then try and put music to that? What comes first, the music or the lyrics?
I have no set pattern. Sometimes, you know, it might be just a hook line of I might get an idea in my head and you think, well, that'll be a good thing to write on, or you'll hear a phrase that someone will say and you'll think, oh, geez, there's going to be a song in that, or that's going to be a title.
Right.
Sometimes I'll just get a melody in my head and I'll think, oh, right, that's a good melody. I better write something to fit it. So, you know, I've got no real set pattern. I reckon one of the best technologies we have today is the iPhone with the recorder on it, your memo and voice recorder, because I could be riding along on a horse through the paddock and, you know, I've had many, or I've been at work and I've had a line pop into my head. One time I'd be trying desperately to find a pen or a paper, and a lot of the time you wouldn't have that on you if you're out on the horse. So
yes,
you'd be trying to remember that until you got back home at night, and then half the time you'd forget what it was.
Yes.
And so that's good, you know. So I just whip out the phone these days, sing down an idea or speak down a line or two and or hum a melody and it's there for me to start working on then. But I always sort of had plenty of songs sent to me by other songwriters and lyrics by different poets. And sometimes, you know, you'll get a song turn up in the mail and like a poem turn up in the mail and you look at it and it'll be meted just right, or you look at the story and sometimes I instantly have a melody that'll just fall straight into the song.
Right.
Whereas others you've got to work away for a while on trying to craft them or just altering a thing here and there to make everything fit, sound good. So now it's sort of all got its own, it all takes its own shape for me, you know.
Fair enough.
Just let it lead where it leads.
Now, I also know that you're a lover of gospel music as well, and you've got an album out called Bluegrass Gospel.
Yeah,
you brought
that
out in 2013. So you like
the shelter of the cross.
Yes, the shelter of the cross.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always sung gospel music all the way through my career as well, and you know, I was sort of raised in a Christian family, and you know, I think gospel music, and however we look at it, it's always been a real part of country music as well, down through the years, and all the traditions that go with country music. But you know, I've always had that appreciation for what I feel God's given me and blessed me with. So, you know, I think recording the gospel albums has always been a natural course for me and something I've always wanted to do. So, yes, that album in 2013, that was also a way for me to express my love of bluegrass music as well.
Okay.
And because, you know, I guess I just love all great traditional country music, and I'd always been a really appreciated bluegrass, but never had much of a chance to really have a go at it. And I decided I was going to record a gospel album, and this also led to me to record in the USA in Nashville to record this album, because I wanted it to be a proper bluegrass album, and I wanted to go to the people that knew it best.
Okay.
And the bluegrass sound the best, and there were certain players I always wanted to work with as well. So I took that opportunity, and a fellow called Larry Mars produced the album for me. And
yes.
Larry used to work with people like George Jones and Marty Stewart. And but he just had his own really humble little recording studio in his garage at home. And it was funny because there we are with all these great world-class bluegrass musicians, and you know, we're all just in Larry's garage cutting this album. But you know, it was Larry really knew how to use his equipment and really record well. And so I was super pleased with the way that the album came up, and I learned a lot through that trip and that process. And I also made a lot of great friends with some of the players over there as well. So
fabulous.
It was a real rewarding thing to do, yeah.
Fabulous. Well, I might just take a slight break here, Dean, and I think we'll put on The Shelter of the Cross, and we'll be back with more of you straight after that.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, listeners, just stick around. We're going to have more of Dean Perrott straight after that 2013 album, Shelter of the Cross.
Keep his commands,
and the evil one can never do you harm. Count your blessings every day, love your neighbor on the way. In everything you do, fear God. In the world where we are living, there are many roads, it's said, where dusty weary pilgrims upon their journey tread. Passing by the milestones scattered on the way, They go without a thankful heart and never think to pray. Fear God, keep His commands, and the evil one can never bring you harm. Count your blessings every day, love your neighbor on the way. In everything you do, fear God. At the pace that you are living, you're flying high and wide. You barely stop to catch your breath, you never take the time. You never read the Bible to feed upon God's word. You're walking in your own strength in the pleasures of this world.
Fear God,
keep His commands,
keep His commands,
and the evil one can never do you harm. Count your blessings every day, love your neighbor on the way. In everything you do, fear God. The day is coming when these things shall be no more. When the Lord returns to claim His own, will He knock upon your door? Will He find you unawares because you're not His own? Or will He say, my faithful child, come to your promised home?
Fear God,
keep His commands,
keep His commands,
and the evil one can never do you harm. Count your blessings every day, love your neighbor on the way. In everything you do, fear God. In everything you do, fear God.
Well, there you go, listeners. I hope you enjoyed that song. We've still got Dean with us. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat again and for being patient for us there, just hanging in there while we put the song on. 2012, you had this very illustrious list of Golden Guitar winners. Tell us a little bit about that. And you also work with some sensational people too, the likes of Lee Kernaghan. Channel Country Ground, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, Channel Country Ground certainly was an exciting time for me back in 2012. And I'd actually been going to put together an album, and I'd been writing songs and looking for songs to put together the album Cattle Town. And there was a songwriter who's sadly with us no longer, by the name of Merv Maltman.
Mm-hmm.
And Merv had written some great songs over the years and, you know, travelled with artists like Rick and Thel Carey and some of those great pioneering country music shows, you know. And Rick and Thel thought that much of his songwriting that they recorded a whole album. I think it was the Rick and Thel on Tour album.
Right.
And all the songs on it were penned by Merv.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that much of his writing. And so when I got to know Merv, he pulled me aside this one day at a festival and he said, oh, I want to sing this song to you. Anyway, he sang me this Channel Country Ground. He said, I've just written this. And I said, oh, what a great song, a very emotive song. And I just said, look, I'm recording an album. Would you consider letting me record it? And he thought for a while, and it took me a few weeks to get the song out of him. But in the end, I think he was pulling my leg a bit. But in the end, I'm just really glad that he sent it our way. And then as we were going along, and Lee got to hear the song, and he said, because, you know, he'd known Merv, his father Ray had known Merv back from the Rick and Thel days. And he just said, oh, look, what a great song. I'd love to duet with you on that. And so, you know, that made me feel 10 feet tall as well, just because I've always enjoyed working with, like, I've duetted with a lot of artists over the years, you know, the traditional country people that I know well, but I also like collaborating with artists that are usually that little bit left of field of from where my music sits.
Yes.
I've always really enjoyed doing that. So I was really, really grateful to Lee for coming in and recording that song with me. So, yes, that night in 2012, the song pulled off the Bush Ballad of the Year, and it was just extra special because it was my first golden guitar.
Yes.
And the song will always be very special for me in that regard, but probably more so, even more extra special in the fact that Merv, who'd written all these great songs, had never had the luck to have ever had anybody nominate a song that was eligible for a golden guitar, let alone win one.
Win one, yeah. That must have made him feel so proud.
Well, it did, you know, and I just sort of saw it. That was as a reward for all the great songs he'd written over the years.
Yes,
you know? So, yeah, but that night in 2012, yeah, that was very special. And I'd always, when I was a kid at home on Bowen Fells, and I would always listen to the radio broadcasts of the Country Music Awards of Australia. And you'd hear, you know, people like Slim and people like that getting up and receiving the award for their, you know, one of their latest albums or recordings. And you'd think, oh, wow, wish I could do that one day.
And you did.
Well, you never think you will.
No, but you did. You did in 2012. Yeah. And then in 2015, you got two more. One for Bush Ballad of the Year for Bloodwood and the Clover, and the second for a vocal collaboration with My Country, My Land, which was with Troy Cassar-Daly. So by now you must be thinking, wow.
Yeah, it was great to be on that role, and I mean, I was probably hitting a point in my career where I was able to do a lot more music than what I had been doing earlier on. I was getting the opportunities to come my way to different festivals and shows with different artists and that sort of thing. That sort of encouraged me a lot more. And by this point, as you know, my songwriting had kicked in. The first song I ever wrote was back in 1998. And it was a song called Kings and Grass Castles. It was from sort of 98 onwards that I started to write my own material as well. Yeah, so in getting through to that point, I was blown away when they called our name out a second time. It was great to pick up the Bush Ballad one, which was for, you know, something that I'd recorded solo, Bloodwood and Clover.
Yes.
It was written by a writer by the name of Ian Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when Troy and I picked up the vocal collaboration of the year, because there was a lot of big names and some really great songs in that vocal collaboration section. And so that was an extra special award. And, yeah, just so grateful that you know, people like Troy and Lee and Ann Kirkpatrick and all the artists that I've recorded with over the years, you know, have been gracious enough to record songs with me. And, you know, I guess it just lets me know they seem to be really like what I do. And
they respect you as a songwriter and as a performer, because the likes of Troy Cassar-Daly and Lee Kernaghan are not going to sing a duo with you unless they have that sort of respect for you.
And that's a great thing, to have that respect and friendship from them. You know, it's been a special thing.
Fantastic. I might just put that song on right now, My Country, My Land. What do you think, Dean? And we'll be back with more of you straight
Sounds
after
good.
That.
That's it. Very good.
All right, listeners, stick around. We've still got a little bit more to go of Dean Perrett, and it'll be straight after My Country, My Land.
I died for turtles when I was six. Cooked them on a fire made out of sticks. We took what we needed, bought them by hand. This is my country, this is my land.
The one thing I wanted when I was a kid was to be just like Dad, do the things that he did. To keep that tradition, the old family brand, This is my country. This is my land. This is our country. This is our land. The next generation of proud Aussie men. We work together. We all understand. This is our country. This is our land.
I look at my river. The spirit is strong. Bundjalung Nation is where I belong. Through the great northern ranges where the ghostly gums stand. This is my country, this is my land.
I ease in the saddle, trusting for rain. I gaze over acres of cattle and grain. Those struggles befall us, we do all we can. This is my country, and this is my land. This is our country, this is our land. The next generation of proud Aussie men. We work together, we all understand. This is our country, this is our land.
I signed up to fight, I've near you and die.
And we met on the dock as the families cried.
I left as a boy
and I came back a man.
This is our country.
This is our land. This is our country. This is our land. The next generation of proud Aussie men. We work together. We all understand. This is our country. This is our land. This is our country. This is our land.
Well, we're back, listeners. I hope you've been enjoying the chat we're having with Dean Perrott and also listening to some of his music. Now, in 2018, you got your fourth golden guitar for a Bush Ballad of the Year, Hanbury Blues, and that was written by Neville Anderson. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yes, Neville's always been, you know, a really good songwriter and performer in his own right, and he's just a top bloke, you know, and He, like myself, was raised in the bush around cattle properties, and so I was gathering, of course, gathering songs for the album, and I rang Nev just to see whether he had a bush ballad laying around, you know, and he said, oh, I haven't got too much here, but he said, I've got this one, and he sent it to me called Hanbury Blues, and the story with it is that, like I said, Nev had been raised on cattle properties all his life. Then when he was, you know, probably his mid-20s to 30, he actually, because the Anderson family were quite a large family, so Nev went off having a look at what other things that life also had, and he went off, he started his own business and worked at some different things, and was taking a bit of a time away from cattle properties. Anyway, he said he had this phone call this one day from his brother. His brother said to him, he said, oh, Nev, I was just wondering, would you like to go into a piece of cattle country with me?
Right.
In partnership. And Nev thought, you know, that his brother was talking about a smaller size place, maybe a 1,000 acres or a couple of 1,000 acres somewhere, you know, back towards the coast somewhere. he said, yeah, no, I've got a taste for that again. He said, yeah, I'd really like to do that. He said, good, I found just the place. It's 1,000,000 acres. It's called Henbury Station up on the Fink River in the Northern Territory.
1,000,000 acres.
So the Anderson brothers went into partnership on Henbury Station. So, yeah, I think Nev's song is just a fun little song expressing the fact that he loves the bush. Like he kept working away at his work whenever he could, and his brother and staff were up on the property, and whenever Nev could, you know, he'd go up there and work with them, get a taste of, you know, bush work and bush life again, and really appreciate it that way. And you know, there's a line in there about, you know, loving his wife and kids, but he'd rather be in the territory.
So it gets in your blood, really, doesn't it?
It does, for sure, you know, and that's where, especially with bush ballads, and when it comes to writing songs, those real in-depth Western Queensland bush ballads or Northern Territory bush ballads, it's no good tackling them if you don't have an idea of what it's all about or really live some of that life.
Yes.
That's the beauty of writers like Neville, you know, like that's why I approached Neville actually for the song we've got nominated this year, Walkabout Waters,
right.
Because I probably could have written that one myself as well, but because Neville had lived out in that country through a lot of his years, he was the boy to go to write it, you know.
There's an old saying, isn't there, Dean? Write and sing about what you know.
That's it, exactly. You know, that way it's always authentic and it's always original. You know,
yeah.
And because I think, especially with something like bush ballads, I did hear one time somebody said that anybody can write a simple old bush ballad. Well, no, not anyone can write a simple old bush ballad.
No.
If you don't know your subject.
Yep.
And especially if you've never lived that life.
Yes.
It's all right to look from an outside perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in your writing and your depth of writing, the people who live it and know it are going to look at it and go, right. If you know what I mean.
I do. I do know what you mean.
I'm not trying to be funny or anything there, but that's one thing about the Australian bush ballad.
Yes.
That, you know, for the people that live it and breathe it or have lived it or know something about it, you know, that's what the people enjoy from it is the authenticity.
Yes.
And the genuineness in it.
Yeah, of course.
I think.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's coming from the heart, isn't it, and personal life experience.
That's right, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, you can't beat that.
That's it, exactly, you know.
Really, you can't.
That's why I've admired artists over the years. Like, well, of course, Stan Costa, Brian Young, Kelly Dixon, a lot of those great writers who wrote those great Slim Dusty songs, they live those, you know, their subjects. They live that. They knew those subjects back to front. You know, I think anyone that's even spent some time in the land, you know, like I always admire the writing of Reg Poole and some of, you know, his earlier writing as well. Well, you know, Reg spent plenty of time on the land, on the dairy and bushwork. And so, you know, those sort of things always shine through to me and I always see the authenticity in those artists' work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2015, I'm just going to take you back a couple of years. 2015, you were inducted into the Australian Country Music Hands of Fame. How did that make you feel and your family?
Oh, that was awesome, you know, because for years, you know, I travelled to Tamworth for the festival. I think I first started going there in 1985 was the first trip I did to Tamworth. I was just fresh out of school and had a driver's license, and I thought, I'm off to Tamworth for the festival.
Okay.
So my sister and myself went down with some friends, and that was a great time. And I remember walking into the Hands of Fame Park and trying my hand and all the hands of the legends in the Hands of Fame Park there. Once again, you know, I never really dreamed that had ever happened to me, but, you know, I've been fortunate enough over the years that people have kept liking what I've done and I've been able to keep at it and keep doing it, which I really appreciate because there's so many great artists and singers that never get the opportunity to, you know, life doesn't give them the opportunity to take their music to where the potential it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's in every genre of music. You see it time and again. You know, I just feel really blessed to have been able to have a career where people appreciate my music. I've had the opportunities to tour and do different things and record. And so, of course, you know, when it came around to that night and I had a phone call, said we'd like to honour you, we'd like you to come and sing some songs at what they call the Hands of Fame and Roll of Renown concert, announcement concert.
Right.
So I did have an idea that I was going to be inducted just before it happened. So they made sure I was there and it was special, you know. There was about three other artists that were inducted into the Hands of Fame.
Yes.
And that night, and that was also the night they announced the Roll of Renown recipients that night, and that was the night that Lee Kernaghan and his father Ray,
yes,
Kernaghan were joint recipients of the Roll of Renown.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a very special night all around. Just feels good to have the hand cement there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So where are you going from here, Dean? It seems like you've done a lot, you've achieved a lot, but you've still got so much more to give. Where do you see yourself going in the next 10 years, for example, in the country music industry? You're obviously not going to quit because you're still doing everything right. I mean, last year you got another golden guitar for Out in Killarney, which I played last week, and I'm going to wind the program up with that. So where do you see yourself going?
Look, Phil, I think I just love performing for people. I love the writing and the recording, and so I think, and like travelling, you know, that the music gives me. And so while ever I get the chance to do that, I just want to keep on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I now have a chance to be able to do that a bit more than what I have in the past now. And as I've been getting older, and it's, you know, I'm just really looking forward to that. Some really good advice that I think got given to me this last year when I was in the States at Stu French's studio recording the latest gospel album, The yep. Sweetest Verse.
Yes.
I had the privilege of spending time with the great Jimmy Fortune who was part of the Statler Brothers for many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stu and I went around and we spent about 2 hours there with Jimmy. And as I was leaving, and he said, you know, he just said, the best advice that he said anyone could give another artist, he said, is enjoy what you do, make the music that you make from your heart for the people that you know love it and will get something from it. But he said, don't make any plans, just let it happen as it happens.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, well, when an artist from, you know, from that level who's done a lot of world touring, was part of a super group like the Statler Brothers, that had worked with Johnny Cash and you know, as their own act over the years, you know, it's, he said, that's what he found, you know, over the years. He said, your music, he said, just play it from your heart. Your music will take its own course. And music lovers will see, you know, they'll either, if they like your music, they'll like your music, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just let it happen naturally. So, I've been very blessed, I think, in that when I look back on my music career, I don't have too many things that I'd love to be able to play some bush ballad songs, some Australian bush ballad songs on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
And if ever I had a thing to look that I wanted to achieve again in music, it would be that would be about it.
Okay.
Because I'm very, very fortunate, like, in that when I look back at it, I've really been able to achieve most of the things that I would have only dreamed of when I first started out, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm very, very thankful for that.
Well, mate, I think you've got some fabulous music. You're doing the music, the country music industry proud in this country. I just hope you continue to do it for a long, long time and continue to produce fabulous songs and keep the bush balladeering going for as long as it possibly can. Country music's changed. It's morphed through pop and rock and so on and so forth. But, you know, what you fellas do, the bush balladeers, I just hope you just continue to keep it going for as long as we possibly can keep it going, because it is uniquely to Australia, really.
Well, it is. It's very uniquely Australian. And I think the thing is, you know, apart from music trends coming and going and that sort of thing, the bush ballad's always been a constant thing because, you know, there's always been those people loving and working the bush. You had the era of the great pioneering Australian artists and huge legends like Slim Dusty and Buddy Williams and those people. But what I'm finding today is there's a lot of young people that they're still working those stations. They're still working horses. You know, they're working cattle. And they still appreciate, so, you know, as long as I can make, well, songs like Adam Kalani, you know, or Six Decks to Darwin.
Yes.
They're songs that those young people identify with because that is the job that they're doing now. And I think they see and they appreciate the stories in it. You just you know, do your best to hope they like what you can produce out of the studio for them, you know.
Well, I played both those songs last week. I'm going to wind this up now. Thank you so much for your time, Dean. It's been my absolute pleasure. I know my listeners are going to absolutely love listening to this and also the music that we've discussed throughout the course of this discussion. So thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you for giving me the time, Phil. I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's without people like yourself, you know, letting your listeners hear all these different artists and what we have to offer. You know, we'd be paddling a canoe against a fairly stiff moving stream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much. Dean Perrott, listeners, out on Killarney. Thank you so much, Dean.
Thank you, Phil. Been a pleasure.
To Killarney Station, back to where the horse is still the king, where cattle sense is taught with firm tradition by bushmen with lifetime experience. I see the young with a thirst for knowledge that comes from hands-on work out in the bush. They're learning fast in a cattle country college, lessons you won't learn from any book. Riding high beneath the sky out there on Killarney, sunburnt ringers living out the dream. They love the scent of horse sweat, the feel of work-worn leather, the painting of a real Australian scene. Australian dream. Big Bill Tapp once rode across this country, his family carved an empire from the land. The years they pass, like the changing of the seasons, the cattle here now wear the Jumbuck brand. As daylight breaks out across the top end, the mustering team has saddled up to ride. The coacher mob is slowly moving onward as as choppers sweep up cattle from where they hide.
Riding high beneath the sky out there on Killarney,
sunburnt ringers living out the dream.
They love the scent of horse sweat, the feel of work-worn leather,
the painting of a real Australian scene.
Of the true Australian dream.
Well, there you go, folks. That is Adam Killarney, and of course, that is Dean Perrott. We're going to wind us up now, folks. Just one more song by that great man, one of Australia's finest bush balladeers. He mentioned the song Six Decks to Darwin. Let's wind up the show with this one.
Six decks to Darwin, hauling up the Duncan Road. I just rolled out of Newry with a load of top-end gold. Heading for the export ships, those drovers of the sea. Six decks bound for Darwin, big heart of the territory. On the stations in the top end, they are mustering the steers. A live export out of Wyndham and the Darwin Harbour piers. So we got the road trains rolling and we're heading out to load. In this fabled series Kenworth, I power up the road. When the soft grey light of morning comes a-creeping through the sky, the trailers are a-rattling as we load the cattle high. 180 head of Brahmin beauties are ready for the ride. And to tell you that I love the job should come as no surprise. Yeah, I got six decks to Darwin, hauling up the Buntine Road. Just rolled out of Canfield with a load of top-end gold. Heading for the export ships, those drovers of the sea. Six decks bound for Darwin, big heart of the territory.
Let them roll.
Glance back in my mirrors where the trailers track behind. I see it as cloud rise and filling up the sky. I'll stop to check the cattle now and then along the way. Then when we hit the bitumen, the wind'll fill our sails. From the red dust and the ranges to the ocean deep and blue, you'll hear the old girl growling as the gear shift changes through. There's the song of travelling cattle to the rhythm of the road, while the horses neath the bonnet knuckle down and bear the load.
Yeah, I got six decks to Darwin, hauling up the Barclay Road.
Just rolled out of Lake Nash with a load of top-end gold.
Heading for the export ships, those drovers of the sea. Six decks bound for Darwin, big heart of the territory. Six decks to Darwin, hauling up the Duncan Road.
Just rolled out of Rosewood with a load of top-end gold.
Heading for the export ships, those drovers of the sea. Six decks bound for Darwin, big heart of the territory.
Oh, there we go, folks. That is Six Decks to Darwin, Dean Perrott, from his Kind Seasons album. It's time for me to put the horse in the stable. Before we do that, I've got to let you know, if you've missed any of this program, the Dean Perrott special, it will be podcasted on allaussieradio.com.au within 24 to 48 hours of this airing. And also, the program is syndicated to 87.6 Backwater Country, 24/7 Country Channel in Harrington, and also 97.7 FM in Tasmania, Tasman FM. Folks, I got to put the horse in the stable, kick back on the porch with a Jack and a beer. So until next week, folks, yee-haw! See you somewhere around Corner Country.